Welcome to Extra Extra. I'm Caitlin Kelleher.
And I'm Joy Richard.
We are going to talk Halloween today with Will Dodd. He is the Salem multimedia journalist, and he is based in our North Shore unit. He'll be joining us by phone. So when we get back from this commercial break, we are going to be on the phone with Will.
It's time now for Extra Extra. An inside look at the news from Wicked Local. With your hosts, Caitlin Kelleher and Joy Richard.
Welcome, Will. Thanks for joining us on Extra Extra.
Hi.
Great. Yes.
We'll start this week talking a little bit about Halloween. And so, Will, can you tell us a little bit about what you do in your day job when it's not Halloween focused?
I basically cover the Witch City, but it's not uncommon in Salem for us to celebrate Halloween all year. I mean, you know, I could be at a local bar and it's the middle of winter and someone walks in with like a pirate hat on or a pirate outfit and no one turns a head. That's kind of what I like to tell people sometimes. It's kind of always Halloween in Salem, you know?
Absolutely. I lived there for four years when I was in school, and it was Halloween every day. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's people, you know, I kind of feel like sometimes I'm living in Hogsmeade at, because I also live in Salem. I also cover it, but I also live here. Kind of feel like it has sort of a Hogsmeade feel to it if anyone reads Harry Potter.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. You know, lots of people in cloaks, lots of like witchy, wizardy people. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. But that just like kind of grows exponentially throughout October 1st. But, you know, in Salem, we start the Halloween celebrations off with a sort of resident parade that's always held on the first Thursday of every month. So that was held October 5th. And it's just been nonstop ever since. I mean, Essex Street, which is the main drag, which I'm sure, Joy, I think you probably, you know where Essex Street is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just this long main drag that just has it. And the weekends have been quite crazy. People have been shoulder to shoulder on Saturdays, just walking down there with all the vendors that are going on. And I've been seeing quite a few creepy costumes. I saw really good, I put this on our Facebook, but it was a really good It. This guy was dressed up as It from Stephen King's novel. I guess Pennywise would be his name.
Yes. Yeah,
that's weekend. It's crazy.
It's pretty creepy.
You know, this is why I am not the fan of Halloween. This is the creepy costumes, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. It gets pretty crazy out there and realistic, too. And I think that this is my third or fourth Halloween that I've covered, and it gets scarier and scarier every year.
How do you cover an event that is as long as Halloween is in Salem and as known as Halloween is in Salem with a unique twist, because the local residents don't need the play-by-play, so you're kind of looking for something else, I assume?
Yeah, I think that it's like I did the other day, which was, you know, I will always cover the parade because that's sort of the kickoff to Halloween. So I did do a very long piece about that. I did some video, I think I got some reactions on Twitter. Just kind of looking for what's new to the season, I think, is probably what I try to bring to our coverage. This year they had to shut down the Charter Street Cemetery, which is the second oldest cemetery in the country, actually, because people were changing their babies on some of the headstones in the cemetery.
Oh, my gosh.
So they would like this. Yeah, so some people were actually changing their kids on these. So, yeah, that, you know, looking for things like that. I mean, that's news because that doesn't happen every year.
I'm surprised that they actually shut it down.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm surprised that they actually shut it down. It was that much of a problem then.
They shut it down, and now they're implementing a 100 people in the cemetery. They've done this all weekend since the 27th, where they only allow 100 people into the cemetery at a time. So there's been these, like, and then whenever you do that, there's the long lines that get formed. And that was unfortunate that that had to happen. But, you know, looking for those little nuggets like that, like things that happen like that and sort of extract them. I also do video. People like last year, Pete Chianco, my editor, really liked whenever I think Facebook Live started to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the first Halloween where we had Facebook Live. I walked up and down Essex Street. People like that. We have a lot of drummers that are up and down Essex Street, street performers. Just people like looking at the costumes. I think this year what I'm going to do is stop people and ask them. Today it's really quiet. It's really quiet right now. I know it's only like 10:30, 11 o'clock, but it's sort of like the calm before the storm. It's going to get really crazy. I walked through town this morning and they were setting up booths.
What kind
and
of...
for dancing later on tonight, yeah.
What
they
kind
also
of...
have security, too, is going to be changing ever since the Las Vegas shooting that happened. So they'll be having officers on roof tonight.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up with a question about public safety, because I think that's a lot of times people's biggest concerns, especially when you live in the city. You know, how is my area going to be affected? Is my street going to be shut down? But particularly because of Las Vegas and stuff like that, can you kind of go through some of the extra safety precautions other than people being up on roofs that's going to happen this year?
Yeah, sure. So people who are going to be getting off the train at the BATA station downtown, they're actually going to be patted down, or they're going to be, I guess, searched as they come into Salem. And anyone who has a knife or has any type of thing that resembles a weapon, the police are going to be taking it, and they're going to put it in bags and then bring it to the police station. You can get it, pick up your objects after the event is over, or come back and get them, which I thought that was pretty crazy that they were going to be doing that, because I don't think they've ever done that before.
No, not from my recollection.
I'm sorry?
I said not from my recollection. That seems pretty intense.
Yeah, we're going to have about 240 officers all throughout the town. And that's like state officers, Essex County Sheriff's Office will have their police officers here. We'll have all of our Salem police officers out today on motorcycles, on tripods, I guess, if you want to say, like these little motorized tripods.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and once the fireworks end tonight at 10 o'clock down on Derby Wharf, they start to tell people to go. All the bars shut down so that people can't go into them. They basically just clear all the streets. And by the time, you know, midnight rolls around, it's kind of like a ghost town, really.
Does it follow the same patterns every year in terms of this cycle? Because I've never gone up to Salem for Halloween and on Halloween weekend.
Yeah, it does. It really does follow the same pattern. I mean, you usually will see more people coming in whenever Halloween falls on the weekend, but not so tonight they're expecting about 100,000 people, I believe. That's pretty large. But if it was on the weekend, I would say that it would probably be bigger. We have Destination Salem, which helps market the Halloween festival, which is called Haunted Happenings, and that happens over a 4-week period, usually. So we've had 5 weekends this year, so that's another thing that was unusual.
Right.
That was different, I guess. So you had 5 weekends to celebrate Halloween.
With the storm that came in over the last few days.
By the way, I did not know that storm was coming. I don't know where I was at or how I missed it, but didn't that seem like it came out of nowhere?
We didn't seem... I am in the Concord area and the Boxborough area, and we didn't really get that much. So I think it hit, I think it was really sporadic where it hit. So, but I think that you guys got hit with the on the North Shore, right?
We did, yes. I actually was getting, scrolling on Facebook this morning, and the mayor had actually posted, Mayor Kim Driscoll posted photos of upended. Have you guys ever heard of the Salem Willows before?
Yes.
Yes.
Salem Willows is sort of like a peninsula. Yeah, Joy, you've probably heard of it. Yes, you have. it's just sort of like this peninsula that's connected, and it has all these old willow trees, and some of those actually uprooted.
Oh.
And then this morning when I was going down to Dunkin' Donuts, I noticed that Essex Street actually had a tree that was knocked over.
Wow.
And they had this huge, construction vehicle that had a lift on it, and they were just pulling a tree that had fallen out. So I was like, wow, they're actually going to be doing that before all these people come. But they were cleaning that up along Essex Street. So we did actually get it. But I'm actually going to probably write a story about it for next week about those trees, especially in San Ramon.
Those are
really old.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, I had a question in terms of how you balance Halloween reporting with your everyday reporting, especially because people who live there are kind of over Halloween. It's something that's part of their everyday lives. How do you give people a little something different that's not holiday related, but kind of keeping with the holiday coverage at the same time?
Yeah, I think, for instance, we've had a lot of people who have reacted to the Puerto Rico, the after Hurricane Maria had happened. So we've been having a lot of people who are, we also have to remember too, that we have an election that's coming up, a fairly important election that's coming up next Tuesday.
Right.
So that has been on everyone's mind.
It's a mayoral election, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a mayoral race. We also have 30 candidates running for various seats on the city council and the school committee. Mm-hmm. And then we also have our Sanctuary for Peace ordinance that was placed on the ballot as well. And I filed probably at least 20 stories about that. So we also, I've been juggling that too. I've been doing a candidate's guide every week where I've been, Ward 1, Ward 2, Ward 3 candidates that are running. So that kind of keeps it interesting. We've got a lot of letters to the editor for the election too. But then I also have sort of how to help stories about Puerto Rico lately. The Greenhouse School, which is on Loring Avenue, they've been doing donations, and it's just a group of really adorable kids just raising money and getting a lot of donations to send down to Puerto Rico right now.
Is there a large Puerto Rican community in Salem, or is
there?
There
is in our Point neighborhood. There's a lot of Latino people down there. The community has been coming together to help support that, and the mayor's been very supportive too.
And the Point is near Derby Wharf, which is actually kind of near the epicenter of the Halloween celebrations, right?
Yes, it does. It abuts it. But I would say, yes, it is. That's kind of where everything culminates, I would say, for the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Essex Street's kind of where it's at too. But you're right, there's the carnival there too. We have the Salem Carnival that comes every year as well. But this will be the last year that we actually have the carnival.
Really? Oh, okay.
I'm going to have you explain that as soon as we get back from this commercial break. We'll be right back.
All right.
Welcome back. We're here with Will Dowd and Joy Richard, and we're talking about Halloween in Salem and all the coverage that goes along with that. But, Will, you were about to tell us how the carnival is in for its last year.
Yeah, it's got like a ring of... Have you guys ever seen that cult roller coaster where it's just a ring and it goes around and around?
Yes.
Like you kind of get in, you're kind of screaming for your life the whole time.
Yes.
Yes, again, don't do roller coasters.
It's got that before. It's got a Ferris wheel. It's got kiddie rides. So the city acquired that property last year through Community Preservation Act funds, and they're going to turn it into a park. So this will be the last year that we have the carnival. And I'm not sure if they're going to be bringing it back. I don't know where they would put it because there's not a lot of space.
Right.
I'll actually put that in my coverage tonight too. And what's really cool about covering Halloween is all the different people that you meet. I was looking at my story from last year, and I interviewed people from Ireland. I've interviewed people from, some people who were from Dublin, and they come all the way here just to see Salem's Halloween celebrations. I guess that word gets around about how good our how well we party here.
I guess it's like Mardi Gras in New Orleans
in a way. Yeah.
It's really.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I went down there when I was in college a few times. And if you're not into crowds, you're not going to be enjoying yourself, because it is quite literally a crush of people. And when I was down there, it was a lot of fun, but it was intense. And the years that I went down, I think it was 2, they had a policeman on horseback. Is that something that's still going to be happening this year?
Yeah, I saw that last year as well. I'm pretty sure that they will be. Yeah, I don't see why not. And I'm actually going through the Salem Citizens Police Academy right now. It's a 10-week kind behind the scenes of what police officers are doing. And that's another story that I've been doing this year, is that I've been doing a series on our police academy here. And the amount of work that goes into public safety during Halloween. They actually have a police officer who is in charge of just Halloween, all of the big events that Salem has, and the coordination tonight. They're going to have officers from all up and down the North Shore come in and help with tonight. But they set up a command center at the station on Margin Street, and it's pretty impressive. I mean, it's a lot of work, but they really have it down to a T, you know?
Oh, they definitely do. Have you done any stories on how the holiday affects the college? Because it is a university town, and I'm sure there can be a lot of crossover in crowds going from the school back and forth. Have you done anything specifically in terms of that?
Usually, no, I have not. Usually they shut down, or they close classes just to help mitigate the traffic coming in and out.
Yeah, because it's a huge commuter school.
On Halloween. Now, do you remember that when you went there?
Yes, I do. It was a wonderful day off. Because I actually lived on campus, but I know the majority of students actually commute from all over the area. So it would have been very hard to get into town, especially because the traffic from the highway comes right through where the celebration is. So
it must have been fun being a student here in Salem.
The first year it's fun with Halloween, because you're discovering everything, and then it becomes, you live there, so you become a resident who's kind of over it. You're like, oh, I just want my October back. I want to go to the grocery store without, like, fighting a warlock in the street for a parking space. So,
because that's a statement you hear every day.
In Salem, during October, it's more, you know, it happens more than you think it would, but it's a great city to live in all year round. It's very community oriented. I never felt unsafe, so I think you're accurate when you say that the police presence and their attention to detail in town is very high, because they do have this huge thing going on. They also have a school, you know, so they really do keep everybody as safe as they can.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people have put emphasis on those sort of inconveniences that you just mentioned too. I think it's been extra hypersensitive this year because we have a mayoral election.
Right.
And I just think people have been really sensitive to it. And they've been more sensitive to it than I would say previous years, even though, so I think that people probably feel like it's more than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think people are ready for November 1st, All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. But it is, but you're right. I think it is a great city to live in year round. It's really a great, special place.
So next Tuesday, you're going to be, it's election day. So you guys are going to have that election. What have been some of the main focuses that you guys have, you've had to really draw readers' attention to, or that readers have really pushed in front of you as topics that are focused on for this year? And can you also tell us who the candidates are?
Oh, sorry?
Can you also tell us who the candidates are, for those of us who are not up on Salem politics?
The city council, I could tell you who they are, but there's 30 of them. I think we probably won't focus just on the mayor.
That sounds a good plan.
Okay. Yeah, so Mayor Driscoll has been the... by the way, the paper has endorsed Mayor Driscoll for re-election. A lot has happened for the city since she's been in office. And I'm sorry, I have someone. So she's just, sorry, someone was calling me there. She has been the mayor for 12 years now, and she's running for a fourth term. And people are basically saying that they're kind of tired of the overdevelopment that's happened in Salem. They feel like there's a lot of high taxes. But I think whenever it boils down to it, I think a lot of people are just divided over this sanctuary for peace issue. They feel like it's not necessary. They feel like it's divided the city, really.
So is that the main kind of crux this year?
Yeah.
What is the same?
I really do. I do think that that's been sort of a dividing issue here in town.
What is the question that people will be voting on for that one?
It's basically a sanctuary for peace, but it's not sanctuary city status. It's basically codifying policies within the Salem Police Department and how city employees interact with people who may be. Well, basically, it's saying that city employees will not ask people for their immigration status when they interact with them, whether it be schools, city hall, you know, getting your dog's license, if you will, for city hall and you access services, then they're not going to ask you for your immigration status, you know, if you're enrolling your kid into school or whatnot.
Okay.
So the people on the opposition side are arguing that, well, if we're just codifying what we're already doing, why do we need a sanctuary for peace? You know, if city employees aren't asking people for their immigration status, then why do we need to have a sanctuary for peace ordinance that says they're not going to do it? But the mayor kind of argues that, and a lot of the people who are for a sanctuary for peace, like our No Place for Hate committee or some of our city councils, they argue that a lot of kids have been afraid ever since the November election in 2016 to actually even go to school or to return home. They feel like their immigrant parents may not be home when they get there because ICE or an immigration sort of officers might come and pick them up and take them away. This is more of sort of like a symbolic thing than it is so it's sort of telling kids that, hey, it's okay. You know, we're not going to be rounding up people. It's going to make the city safer by sort of signaling to immigrants that they can actually call the police officers, because there's a lot of palatable fear out there about whether police officers are going to round up immigrants or not.
Is this the first kind of vote for this type of ordinance in a city in the area? Because other than Salem, I haven't heard of it in another community.
Ipswich,
okay,
did one, but it's not a sanctuary city in the sense of like our Salem police officers are going to say, hey, we're not going to work with federal officers if, you know, someone is an illegal immigrant or not.
Right.
If someone breaks the law, someone breaks the law. That's basically what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to call, you know, if you break a federal law, our police officers are going to interact with federal officers. I think Beverly has passed one. I think they did it through city council. Ipswich did it through their town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We passed our Sanctuary for Peace ordinance through city council, but there were a group of people who were in opposition to it who decided to bring it to the ballot in November. And they were successful in running a petition, and they placed on the ballot, and now we have it. And then there are some people who believe that the people who were in opposition to Sanctuary for Peace only put it on the ballot to draw people out because they don't like certain people in city council or they don't like the mayor, so they decided to place it on the ballot just to sort of be a political football to drive people out in November. That's what one city councilor said in a meeting a couple of months ago. So, yeah, it's really too bad to see it because there's a lot of division that's going on out there here in Salem right now.
Okay, well, we are going to wrap up today's podcast on that unfortunate note. It's too bad that there's division right now because, like I said, Salem is a beautiful city with a lot of history, and a lot of fun stuff going on. But we really appreciate you coming on to chat with us, Will, and good luck with tonight.
All right. Thank you so much.
Happy Halloween.
All right. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us today on Extra Extra. My name is Joy Richard, and you can reach out to me on social media at Extra Extra Joy on Twitter, or send me an email at jrichard, that's Richard with no S, at wickedlocal.com.
I'm Caitlin Kelleher, and I want to thank you guys for joining us and hope you had a great, had a great Halloween this year. Find me on Twitter at CM Kelleher, or email me at ckelleher@wickedlocal.com. Thanks for joining us. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You can join Caitlin and Joy as they go behind the scenes each week at Wicked Local. Follow Caitlin on Twitter at CM Kelleher and Joy at Extra Extra Joy. Thank you for listening to Extra Extra.